Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome to Uber in America, over borders, legally. I'm actually crossing the border legally right now with this signal. I can't believe yesterday someone from Toronto, Canada was listening. Oh man, was that great. I am very happy to be with you here tonight. The phone numbers are the same. The text number is the same. Your host is the same. Tomorrow, it will not be the same. Brad Young will be filling in, and I'm really looking forward to hearing Brad come back. He'll be ready to go. He's got some fight in him, and I'll be filling in for Mark Reardon on Friday. So I'll be in doing the daytime shift. I'll actually be in the studio when it's light outside. Yay! Producer Mike, just a moment ago, walking into the bathroom, and you thought that was the time to start a conversation. So, isn't it weird saying something to someone else in a bathroom? I find that awkward, mostly. It didn't stop you, though. You told me that you saved something for me. You're like, hey, did you see what was out in the break room?
Well, I didn't save something from the bathroom.
Okay, that's good. Where did you save something from?
Well, I walked in today around 5 o'clock, and apparently we have a producer, Patrick Booz, who is going on a little weight loss kick right now.
Okay.
Also, apparently his wife, I believe, I'm not sure, possibly girlfriend, is a tremendous cook. So now Patrick is bringing some delicious treats into the station.
Oh, so he posted online the weight loss, and he is looking better. Did you actually bump into him at all?
Nope.
Okay. You know what he looks like, though, right?
Yep.
You've met him before. He doesn't do a lot with Camo X. He's mostly on the other stations, but I did see photos online. He was posting about his weight loss. Is it just eating better? Is that what he said was the difference maker? I don't know. So what did you...
I don't know. All I saw was a box in the kitchen. That's my extent of the box? Patrick Booz story.
What's in the box? What was in it?
Well, I figured they might be gone by the time you got here, so I grabbed an extra one for you.
Aww.
And it's something that you like to make fun of me for loving.
Oh, no. What is that?
Do you have any guesses?
Something I can make fun of you for loving? Cucumber dip. I don't know. What is it?
Cake pops.
Oh, cake pops.
Yeah.
Did you already have one?
No, I haven't. I have two, one for me, one for you.
Oh, let's try them. And his girlfriend made them?
I don't know.
I wonder if they're healthy.
I didn't read the note.
What if you bite into and it's something like kale instead of cake? Ugh.
Then it's a kale pop.
Yeah, but he called it a cake pop. I find with a lot of the healthy alternative style foods, they always... they call them what they want it to be, but not based on what it actually is. You know, it's like cake-free cake pop. Oh, that sounds good. What's in it? Not cake.
Well, I don't think these are supposed to be healthy. That's why he had to bring them here.
Oh.
So that they didn't tempt him.
Wait, so it's not a healthy alternative food. It's basically, I can't eat this, so I know some hungry people that would eat them. Bring it in here. Let's try it real quick.
I believe so.
Are they like a Starbucks? Or I know producer Mike, let me give a story while producer Mike gets in the studio. This is what he likes to do. He walks into a Starbucks and he says, I'll take all your cake pops, please. And the person behind the counter says, how many do you want? He says, all of them. Did you hear me? All the cake pops. He'll blow an entire paycheck on these things because they're expensive. These don't look like Starbucks. These look like handmade, don't they? Well, they're not. There's no stick in them. So they're not a pop. They're just like a cake ball. And there are little hearts on them. Are these... preparing for Valentine's Day? It's very Valentine's Day themed. Well, that's cool. Isn't that cute? Producer Mike thought about me. Aw. Thank you, Producer Mike. That's really nice of you to do that. I'm just kind of giving him a quick little squeeze. Let's see what's inside. Oh, it looks chocolatey inside. Well, that's pretty cool. Producer Mike. Aw. Thank you. You could have saved that for Brad Young for tomorrow night. Instead, you decided to think of me. Aw. Isn't that cute?
Maybe tomorrow I'll get Brad some of those sliders out of the vending machine.
Well, there's some in the newsroom. Do you see that? You can save those. Are there sliders in the vending machine?
There used to be.
I want... Thank you, Producer Mike.
That's actually really good. Thank you, Mrs. Booze.
Aw. Is he married? I don't know if he is. All right, so President Trump walking out of a meeting. I love the quote from his tweet. Bye-bye! Let me read the quote. Just left a meeting with Chuck and Nancy. A total waste of time. I asked, what is going to happen in 30 days if I quickly open things up? Are you going to approve border security, which includes a wall or steel barrier? Nancy said, no! I said, bye-bye! Nothing else works. Oh, man, I would have loved to have seen that exchange. Oh, would that have been great? So President Trump and Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, exactly where they were before. Yesterday did not move anyone. The president gives his justifications. I feel like the president has at least laid out a pretty strong argument of why something like this would be beneficial to the United States of America. Adding tougher border security, adding a barrier, a steel barrier, steel wall, whatever you want to call it. And here's some of the things that we see would be a benefit, as in if we cut down the amount of drugs that are coming into this country, the amount of money we spend on drug dependency, and we look at opioids in general here, what that could be cut down, the amount of money we spend on people that are here illegally, it's what, up to $115 billion a year, our estimates. We also look at the human smuggling and trafficking. He gave a statistic yesterday that 1/3 of women crossing the border are sexually assaulted. That estimate's actually a lot higher. 1/3 is low. I've heard estimates up to 80%. And also, there's children smuggling. There's unaccompanied children coming to the border. There's a lot of other issues in the southern border. He said he spoke to the people that are working the line, and this is what would help them in helping the people that are coming to our country. So what do we do? Do we ignore that? The argument that the Democrats put on the table last night was, why don't you open up the government and then we'll talk? Nah, here's part of the problem with that. They're never going to talk. Never. Never. If you can't negotiate now or at least open up conversations now, there is zero indication that you'll be able to negotiate anything after the point. So I have a couple of President Trump clips I want to play for you. Mitch McConnell clips. Steve Scalise actually had some really great comments on this. And the audio after President Trump said, bye-bye. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
News at the top and bottom of the hour. Mornings and afternoons. KMOX.
Welcome back to Overnight America. This is specifically for producer Mike. You know, if you wanted to get the Republicans and the Democrats speaking again, you bring this woman into the room. When they start bickering, all she does is sit in the corner, and when things get bad, she just steps in and says,
stop it.
Right? That'll get them to do it. We won't need her all that often just for high-profile meetings like today. Give me a wall. No. Yes. No. Yes. No.
Stop it.
Get the job done already. All right. The big speech, we talked a lot about the speech yesterday, and today was going to be the meeting where they ironed it all out. All we need is another 45 minutes so we can get this thing done. Not so much. It needs probably a little bit more than that. Last night, there was no sign of a national emergency, but I don't think they're taking that off the table just yet. Sarah Huckabee Sanders was asked about it.
Why didn't the president declare a national emergency in his speech?
Something that we're still looking at, something that's certainly still on the table.
But a crisis means it's happening now, and there's no time to waste, so why not do it?
The best solution is to be able to work with Congress to get this done, because you can close a lot of the loopholes, fund border security fully, and that's what we're hopeful to do.
All right. Lindsey Graham.
To my Democratic colleagues, I don't believe you're going to get much traction that the president is manufacturing a crisis, because all of you, including me, have voted for billions of dollars to secure the border, very much like the president's proposing.
Yeah, Steve Scalise too.
90% of the heroin coming into America is coming across the southern border. How can you say that's a fabricated crisis? And if you think it's a fabricated crisis, then why did Chuck Schumer vote back in 2006 to allow for wall to be built?
By the way, the heroin, it's not 90%. you know, 88% of it is manufactured in Mexico. Oh, the fact checkers' heads will explode. You know, I did the whole thing last night about the fact checking and how it's just insane that they're basically putting up this straw man argument where they're fact checking things that weren't actually said or things that are objective enough that you don't need to fact check things that, for example, he says, you know, we're spending this much money on opioids and then or heroin. Yeah, one of the things that they got him on was saying, oh, we 300 deaths a day, or not, maybe not a day, but they were talking about all the different drug problems we have in the United States. And then the fact check was, well, actually, it's not just heroin, it's this too. And the fact check was trying to throw in something else, even though what the president said was factually true. They fact checked something that he actually didn't say to make it look like he was telling a fib or something like that. And you see a lot of that going on during these times. If only the fact-checking police were out in full force during the Obama administration, then we'd be able to compare the two. It has never been like this. It's as if anything he says, they'll just, every single sentence, try to find a way to paint it as a lie, and then people take the fact-checkers as the gospel truth without even questioning why they even brought some of this stuff up, and not even questioning if the original meaning of what was said, and they're even questioning or fact-checking that original meaning. Let me mention this, too. And I keep seeing people online going at how, you know, nothing's getting done. The government shut down. There's this and that. And I just want to remind people how frustrating this whole process is. I see the articles about the TSA agents that are quitting their job because they can't afford to furlough themselves without pay for this long. And it's terrible. And I totally sympathize with them. Missing one paycheck could be life-changing for a lot of people. You know, just like some people are put out of a job and then they don't know what to do immediately. And they got a lot of things and problems. I will say this. It's probably better to know your job will come back with back pay than it is to quit and have nothing, right? At least you know you're going to have a job once the government opens back up. And it may not be easy to go out and try to find to do something on the side. I'm saying it's probably not best to work in haste like that. It's not to say I'm any less sympathetic. You should be paid. If you're working, you should be paid, period. I mean, I don't like that one bit. But let me put out some of the other strategies we've seen here with the United States and how they've worked hard during this administration and actually some things that have worked when we've taken a hard line. So during the Trump administration, he's been forced to address a lot of problems that this country's had, and he had nothing to do with them. Long before him, during the Obama and Bush and Clinton, even going back that far, there's a lot of problems we've seen in this country that Donald Trump, during the first 2 years of his presidency, has at least made positive progress on. You can look at NAFTA with the negotiations between Mexico and Canada. During the whole election, it was one of the things that actually both candidates agreed on. We need to either change, renegotiate, or drop altogether NAFTA. And guess what? He got it done. That was something that wasn't all that great. North Korea, we've seen progress with North Korea. Even if there is, it's touch and go at points. Could you ever have imagined North Korea coming to the table and working out an agreement for peace? Unbelievable. We've seen slow economic growth uptick and go up. We've seen more jobs. We've seen jobless rates go down. We've seen unemployment in minority categories go to record lows. These are all very great positive signs of the economy. We've seen veteran health care that's been neglected over decades turned around and something done about it. We've seen overregulation turned around, and we've seen that have a positive impact on the country. We've seen the stagnant job growth explode. That's great. We've seen drug abuse in large numbers continue to rise, and we're finally putting the right resources behind it to try to combat those sort of things. We've seen imbalances in trade with the EU that we have renegotiated, which was a big thing. We've seen balances with China, which we're right now in the midst of renegotiating. We saw the TPP gone, out of it. The Paris Accord, out of it. We've seen dwindling spending on defense. That's turned around. We continue to see immigration issues. We continue to see border security issues. We continue to see healthcare issues. But of all the things that have happened during this administration, there's a lot on the table that he has made positive impacts on, put the country in the right direction. And you know what? None of those were his fault. So when I look at problems with the southern border and immigration. This is just one of those things that was put on his plate, and they're trying to do something to make a positive impact for the long term. Not the short term, but the long term. Let me play a couple more clips. Mitch McConnell, Senate in standstill.
Until our Democratic colleagues agree to get back to work, until they agree to get back to work, the Senate can't make much progress.
Yeah, not much from the leaders right now. So after that meeting where President Trump walked out and said, bye-bye, this is when Chuck Schumer came out.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, the president just got up and walked out. He asked Speaker Pelosi, will you agree to my wall? She said no. And he just got up and said, then we have nothing to discuss, and he just walked out. Again, we saw a temper tantrum because he couldn't get his way, and he just walked out of the meeting. I asked him to open up the government, that tomorrow so many people will have trouble paying their mortgages, paying their bills, dealing with situations when they don't get paid. And I said, just why won't you do that? We'll continue to discuss. We're willing to discuss anything.
Nah.
And he said, if I open up the government, you won't do what I want. That's cruel.
No, not really. Let me play an exchange with Jonathan Carl. So there was a press conference, and I want you to listen to this exchange, okay? I think this kind of puts the negotiations with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer into context.
So why not sign the other bills, though, so some of these workers can get paid, the government
can
get
more? You think I should do that?
No,
do you think I should do that, John?
I mean, it's not for me
I want your one-sided reporting. Do you think I should do that? Hey, John. No, seriously, John, do you think I should just sign?
Well, the argument is...
Tell me.
Sign these bills that have nothing to do with
John,
border security.
Do you think I should just sign?
I'm saying that if you sign that, these workers can start getting paid. The government can
So you would do that if you were in my position. You'd do that.
I'm not in your position. I'm asking you if that's something you
I'm asking you, would you do that if you were in my position? Because if you would do that, you should never be in this position. Because you'd never get anything done. Goodbye, everybody. Thank you very much.
Because you would never get anything done. You want to know the proof for that? If we look back at the past 2 years, all the times we were getting close to a government shutdown, or in some cases even reached to that point, the idea is, no, just fund the government and we'll continue negotiations and everything will be fine. And for 2 years, they played this game. No negotiations happened. No more closer to border security. And it's gotten to the point where we know that is a lie. You open and fund the government, negotiations will not continue. They'll just disappear until the next time there's a government shutdown. So either you get it done or you don't. And that's the position both parties are in right now. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. That's the number here. And yes, it's frustrating. Sure, I get it. But if it wasn't for some of the other frustrating moments during this administration, there would be some of these positive moments that never would have happened. Let me get to Rich in South Bend. Rich calling in. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. I got a couple questions to ask you.
Sure.
As you know, I'm a disabled vet. When does the VA run out of disability money? When do VA doctors and nurses and other medical staff say the heck with this and take jobs someplace else? Who suffers? Veterans do, because of longer lines. Why should we pay for it? We answered the call.
Wait, I'm confused. So you think you'll be denied medical service because of the shutdown? I'm confused.
There will be a longer line because doctors and nurses are not going to work for no pay when they can get a job tomorrow.
Well, I haven't heard anything from the VA standpoint. Are they not paying the doctors at VA hospitals?
I don't know.
I haven't heard that at all. If that's the case, that would be that doesn't seem right. I don't think that's true, though. But I understand. Are you saying hypothetically if it got to that scenario?
It could. And when does the VA run out of disability money? I got paid New Year's Eve. What about February 1st?
Well, what happens? I want to go back to the VA thing. Last year, they signed that VA Act where if you were unable to get service through the VA, you're able to go to a private sector and be able to get that covered through the government. Is that correct? So you'd still be able to get coverage either way.
But the contract, who's going to sign the contract Right now, it's only for certain services.
I see.
Like I got my eyes tested mm-hmm. at an eye clinic in South Bend.
Mm-hmm.
Then I took the prescription to the Mishawaka VA.
Mm-hmm.
They fitted me, you know, the frames and that. Then it goes to Indianapolis,
okay.
where the lenses are made.
Mm-hmm.
Only one place in the state, the hospital in Indianapolis,
man.
And it took 4 weeks.
It's a long time. You know, maybe I understand what you're saying, and I think you could bring up a pretty good point here. So if we look at all the fussing and the feuding that goes on in the government, why would anyone in their right mind decide to go work for the government or the VA system where they can go get a job somewhere else privately without the hassle of all of this that goes on during a shutdown?
Yeah, I mean, doctors,
yeah,
I mean,
that's a good point.
As I said, I don't know if the VA has how much money the VA has in their checkbook.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I think that might be one of the main reasons why a lot of people are concerned when you start talking about government takeover of the healthcare system in general. And you look at all the people that would just not want to bother with it if it's government associated and get out of it altogether. That might cause another problem. No, that's a good point. I don't know enough about how that funding, I don't think the funding wears out for that. I don't think that's one of those services where it would, but it's worth double checking because I don't know that for sure.
Yeah, because I haven't heard anything on the news.
Yeah.
And I got paid December 31st.
Mm-hmm.
I called the county veteran service office in South Bend, and I got I'm not sure.
Yeah. So when's your next check?
Money?
Would it be
February
Friday?
February 1st.
Oh, February 1st. Okay, so you get it once a month. Wait, does it skip all of January? So you got it at the end of December, and then because of the holiday, and then it just goes every month. So you don't know what's going to happen come February 1st. I see. Well, that's a good point.
Well, New Year's Eve, because January, New Year's Day is a holiday. I got it a day early.
Okay, yeah, I see what you mean. All right, let me... you know, I'm going to dig around on that to see exactly what will happen. Maybe some of that question's already been answered, because I don't know that for sure. Rich, thanks for calling in. Good to hear from you.
Sure.
Okay. It brings up a point. Why would, if you're thinking about taking a job with the government or the VA or whatever it is, why would you bother taking a job with the government if during a shutdown you know you have to deal with this nonsense? That's a fair point. I mean, that's a very fair point. There's a lot of decisions people need to make when it comes to their own personal lives, and I'm sure that'll play a factor. All right, 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. If you know something about that VA scenario, I'm going to see if I can find an answer to that, but maybe you know. Give us a call. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Let's
go Blues! Hi, Chris Kerber with you, and this Thursday night, the Blues finish up a good stretch of home hockey as the Montreal Canadiens come to town. The pregame show starts at 6:30. We'll drop the puck with you at 7 o'clock on your home for Blues hockey, KMOX. Let's
go Blues! And welcome back to Overnight America. Okay, so I just looked up what Rich brought up about the veterans' paycheck. So even a partial government shutdown, nothing will happen to veterans' hospitals. Nothing will happen with the paychecks either. So they said there could be an issue if it runs past the end of the next fiscal year, which is September 30th. Is it the last day of September? I think it's September 30th. So basically, if the government shutdown runs till October of this year, we might have a problem. But if it ends before that, there won't be any effect on the paychecks or at the hospital. So that's where I see at least some of the stories I've read about it online. So VA hospital stay open and the paychecks will still continue. So Rich, on your February 1st, you will get it. Let me get to Tony real quick. Hey, Tony, what's going on?
Well, I'm on my way back home from a hospital visit to Cochrane today.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got another one next Wednesday. And then I've got one at Jefferson Barracks on the 31st for pain management.
Okay.
My knee replacement, a few years ago, the way the VA keeps the cost down is they get people that are qualified to do the do like my knee replacement was done by a fairly new guy out of college.
Mm-hmm.
He'd been through he passed all the tests and everything, but there a place like Barnes or other hospitals are not necessarily going to put him into the OR to replace a knee or so on, unless they've got some experience. And that's where VA has been saving money.
Hmm. Okay. Well, so, you have a lot of trips to the hospital. It sounds like you're 3 times a month you go in.
Well, it's for different things, you see. And this is kind of unusual because mostly I'll see a doctor up there 2 or 3 times a year.
Mm-hmm.
But I had they found some skin cancer and so on. And as I say, there some of these doctors, like the one I saw today, I'm pretty sure has not got all that much experience for the manner in which she treated. But, you know, that's just my uneducated opinion.
Did you have any indication that some of these doctor visits would be canceled or anything?
Not a bit.
Yeah.
Not
so a bit. It's going to run as normal, all your trips.
I believe so. And, you know, because the government shutdown is an overstatement in my opinion, because there's, I forget if it's 17% or of the government or 13% of the government is what is actually affected.
Yeah, it's a partial government shutdown. There's still a lot of government employees that are going to be asked to pay for or work without pay or be sitting home waiting for this thing to end. We're taught hundreds of thousands. So, I mean, it does affect a lot of people, sure. But a lot of the services that you're used to, I mean, they kind of just keep going.
Yeah, a lot of the services we're used to. Some about the federal parks like Yosemite and that not having nearly as many rangers, for example.
Yeah, and you see the people that are trying to take pictures of the overflowing trash cans and things and say that this is the reason to give up border security because of overflowing trash. But, yeah, I understand. There's some sense. They're trying to sensationalize it, but it's definitely something we don't want to go on long term.
No. But even more than that, we want that wall of whatever form, whatever deterrent we can put on our southern border. Because,
mm-hmm.
I swore to uphold the Constitution and protect it and so on, similar to what the Congress people do. And I think a lot of them are just outright lying when they take that oath.
Yeah.
But that's just my opinion.
All right. Good to hear from you, Tony. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah. Bye.
Okay, so no indication that his trips to the VA, even multiple hospitals that he may be traveling to for different specialists, are going to even delay or cancel his appointment. So looks like things are going as planned in that sense. But Rich calls in from Indiana. I guess it could vary depending on where you're at, but it looks like all of them are up and running. I haven't really heard of any stories that would indicate they're not. Let me play some President Trump clips from earlier today. How about this? Asked if whether or not he'll declare a national emergency.
President, what's your current thinking on a national emergency? Why didn't you announce it last night, and when might you?
Because I think we might work a deal, and if we don't, I may go that route. I have the absolute right to do national emergency if I want.
What's your threshold for when you might make
a deal? My threshold will be if I can't make a deal with people that are unreasonable.
Ooh.
What's your message to the Republicans who are now on Capitol Hill saying
that? I think we have tremendous Republican support. I'll tell you what. I just spoke to a few of the people in the House. We have tremendous support. The Senate has been incredible. Mitch McConnell has been incredible. He said, if the president's not going to sign it, I'm not going to waste my time. And, I mean, Rob Portman's here. He can tell you he's very strong on border security. We have tremendous support in the Senate. We have tremendous support in the House.
Yeah. What about the workers that are out right now waiting to find out they're going to get a paycheck or how long that'll take?
Mr. President, what do you say to those federal workers, security guards, Secret Service agents, TSA agents, who are now going without pay?
I think they have been terrific. These are terrific patriots. A lot of them agree with what I'm doing, and I hope we're going to have the situation worked out. But they want security in our country, and so do I. That's all we want. We want security. We want common sense. We want security in our country.
Uh-huh. I think we do. One last one. Let me play Nancy Pelosi. So this is after the president did the peace out. Bye-bye.
One of the obstacles that we have to an agreement is a stipulation of fact.
what the president is claiming to be the situation at the border is not solved by a wall. And we all have been for border security. We take our oath to protect and defend the American people very seriously. And we had suggestions about how we can do it better than a wall in recognition of what the challenge is there from a immigration and drugs, et cetera, coming into our country. And so that's what's sad. And so I said to him, Mr. President, the evidence of what's happening there does not support the crisis that you describe and therefore the solution you suggest, because we have a better idea of how to keep our country safe, and it isn't a wall.
All right, so that was the noise of the Pinocchio nose. Here's a problem that I see with their stance right here. They say they have a better solution. Unfortunately, if their solution is do nothing, are you telling me this is the right path for the country? Their solution is don't fund anything. Everything's fine down south. Is that where we're at? Everything's fine? Come on now. That's their solution. If they're unwilling to do anything or budge on this, that's their solution. All right, I'm going to get a couple of calls coming in here right after the break. And don't go anywhere, because I do want to get them. We're running a little bit late. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
Ryan Recker. Overnight America, the two best things in your night on KMOX.
All right, a couple calls I want to get in. Let's take them how they got here. Let's see. Patrick. Over from D.C. What's going on?
Well, it's 28 degrees here. You say it's 26 degrees there. They say the wind chill is going to be down to 19. What's your wind chill going to be? About the same? Or do you have the winds tonight?
You are worked up, man. You're ready to go.
Now, well, I'm here in my new study, and I have you at the round table. So you're right here with me.
Aww.
I have you sitting here at the table. We're going to have our meeting, right?
So this government shutdown and what's going on is what you're calling in about.
Of course, sir. Of course. I like to warm up my voice a little bit and just to make sure that I have my thoughts in my brain so I can spit it out real quick, easy, and you can move on. But what we have here is, as I call it, we got you. You know what I mean? You can't turn away from it. You have to pay attention to it. There's nothing else anybody can do. We're all going to be fall into it as far as we can go. I say that there's always fundraising that goes on with this, and I'm absolutely for certain that it is. But the really interesting thing about it is that we have here in Washington, D.C., around the Beltway, and even going up into Baltimore, we have walls that prevent you, the motorists, from pulling off on the side of the road and jumping up into the neighborhood and robbing somebody's house and coming back down into their car and taking off on the Beltway. Or they're called sound barriers, so you don't hear the roar of the trucks going by. I've never seen any controversy about putting them up. They're all around the Beltway. That's a quick 60 miles. Then they go all the way up, and then they go up towards Baltimore. And just almost every city has them. Do you have those sound barriers, those walls along highways?
There's some. I don't see them all that often around here. Maybe I just haven't traveled as much, but you don't see a lot of the sound barriers.
Yeah, but we have a lot of them. But I've never heard any controversy about them going up, that they're an eyesore, that they're a problem to the community, that they're going to cut off one neighborhood from the other neighborhood. How did they get up? I guess because their state, the state can put them up.
And I'm sure they got federal funds for that.
Yeah, but so why would – it's just a wall. They could always knock it down. It's no big deal. And you right, correct?
They're effective. They do the job.
They do the job, right. No motorist can hop off the Beltway and go running up into somebody's neighborhood. You're absolutely correct. They're about 30 feet high, and you just can't do it.
Yeah, and have you ever seen a car chase in L.A.? They love to cover those things because there's one about every other day, and you see the guy hop out. They're not going to the neighborhoods. They have to try to get off to do that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not a bad idea, and I don't really see why they should buck it other than they're there for political means now. I mean, they've stretched this just a little bit too far, and I don't really see it going into or past the State of the Union. If he takes it to the State of the Union, he may have a real problem
there. He may have a great opening line. National emergency is coming. Hey, Patrick, good to hear from you, man.
All right, sir, you keep warm.
You too. We'll see ya. Bye.
See ya. Bye.
Okay, cool. Good old Patrick. Sometimes our phone lines do that. These digital phone lines, look at those echoes in them. It drives me crazy. Big Al calling in. Hey, Big Al, what's going on?
Well, you saw the picture. He stole my banana. guy, and then I come back in here, I got my computer on, and he's tapping the keyboard, and I'm going to read you what he brought up.
Okay.
Democrats haven't always had such a hard position on the wall. Over the decade, Democrats have supported billions of funding for physical barriers. In 2006, the current minority leader, Schumer, voted for, so did Hillary and Biden. Then Illinois Barack Obama praised the bill in force speech, saying it would certainly do some good to help the stem of the tide of illegal immigration into this country.
You know, and
keep, really?
Yeah, let's
My
not forget to.
My people figured it out.
Yeah, your dog typed all of that on the computer?
Well, he pointed to the keyboard,
yeah.
And he had it already brought up.
Oh, that's
and
perfect.
I thought it was dog porn. But it wasn't. No. It was political stuff.
Big Al, let's remember in 2006, do you remember how they justified writing that legislation that everyone was for? It was because it was already in place because of Bill Clinton from the 90s. All they did was add and modify what was already there.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. They didn't oppose it when it was called a fence. So now we're going to call it a fence. But everybody that's fighting it agreed and has agreed that if you don't have borders, you don't have a nation. And now they see these votes out there. They want to give them amnesty, and they're looking at that instead of the goodness of this country. And like I said the other night, you should be ashamed, Democrats. And God bless us all.
Thanks, Big Al. Good to hear from you.
Frankie, get away. All right, see you.
Okay, so Big Al has this beagle. He sends us text messages at 314-436-7900. He'll take pictures of his beagle every time he sneaks off to call the show. Somehow his beagle finds a way to whatever Big Al was snacking on that night. I'm starting to believe that Big Al likes to leave a little food out for the beagle just because he loves that dog. You think that could be possible? Ah, just a little snack for the cute pup. He sends these pictures of these guilty-looking dogs. Oh, here he is. He ate my sandwich again. So President Trump, there's a lot of people are looking at what's going to happen next. And I don't know how long this is going to last. I don't. I just know one thing is that there has to be some form of border security that is on the table. Because if not, by the time the State of the Union comes around, we could be talking national emergency. And that could be his platform to make the case and the justification. You want to talk about what a wild room that's going to be if something like that comes out in the State of the Union. Oh, boy. Also coming up in the next hour, I'm not going to talk all politics. I mean, this is just very relevant the last couple of days, but we're going to change things around a little bit. We're going to do another edition of Would You Click It, our first one for 2019. Would you click it? So if you haven't played that game before, we'll have some fun with it. It's what I like to call Late Night Talk's number one game show. Because I don't think any other late night talk shows actually do game shows. So by default, it's number one. What do we got? We got a couple minutes here. All right. This is a little bit less serious. I might as well play this because I had this on the docket yesterday and I didn't really have a chance for it. Campus reform, they go out and they'll talk to different students on campus. I like the things they do. Obviously, it's edited in a certain way to try to portray their message, and campus reform is one that'll try to go out there and make these college kids look silly. And, you know, Jimmy Kimmel does this to the same extent, except campus reform does it to college kids. Here, let me play for you, and I think this was pretty good. Students hate Trump's immigration policy until they find out it's not Trump's immigration policy.
Read a few quotes here from President Trump talking about the need for the southern border wall. First quote, we should spend money to build a barrier to prevent illegal immigrants from coming in. Another quote, we simply cannot allow people to pour into the U.S. undetected, undocumented, and unchecked. Quote, illegal immigration is wrong, plain and simple. Until the American people are convinced we will stop future flows of illegal immigration, we'll make no progress. When you hear quotes like that, what's your reaction to them?
It's divisive. I think America is a land of opportunity, place for inclusion.
I just really think it's kind of hateful speech in general.
It's just a negative message. Like, when he talks about, like, illegal immigrants, it's just, one, rude, like, to talk about people like that.
It kind of underlies a lot of things about, like, discrimination and people and their prejudices and things like that. So I feel like that stuff is touchy to talk about.
There are racial biases kind of sort of deep embedded in there.
In a word, I'd say it's more jingoist.
Well, I think his demeanor, it's
overall, it's just unacceptable.
I think just the way that he's referring to people across the wall is very dehumanizing.
Whoa. So rhetoric like that, it's not helpful?
No, not at all.
Whoa, not helpful. All these college, you know, I love it. When you're in college, you got it all figured out, don't you?
What if I told you these were from Chuck Schumer, Barack Obama, and Hillary Clinton?
How about that?
Ah!
Really?
How about that? Oh, they know it all. They should have known that by now. If anyone confronts you on the street and they're asking you political questions, I think you obviously have to put your guard up because you know they're trying to pull one of these segments.
Really?
Oh, wow.
I mean, yeah, Democrats and Republicans, I've said.
No, don't give me that. You know, as soon as this person walks away from that microphone, you know what she's going to say? I'm just going to pretend that didn't happen, and I'm just going to continue living my life the way it was. That's not going to change any of these college students on campus. And you know what? It's not going to change anyone else. It doesn't matter. The problem is that we don't listen enough to facts, and even confronted with this sort of thing, they're not really at that level of maturity where they can question that sort of thing. So you could be a logical person. You can know what you believe, and then you can bring these debates up, and then you could confront these with counter arguments. That's if you're paying attention and you're actually someone that studies up on these topics. Or you can be one of the people that were confronted on the street, laugh it off, and then just pretend it didn't happen. I mean, I guess there's other ways different people handle it. All right. So up next, would you click it? I'm going to really try to stay away from more of the politics tonight. I'm really going to try hard. Please, if you would like to play Would You Click It, we'll take some of your calls coming up. We need two contestants in Overnight America.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.